listening to it, and sometimes I will skip over to other chapters and pick up particular verses that I exposit on. But eventually, Lord willing, we'll get through the whole book. First Peter, if the heart is right, then the sacrifice offered is also right. Your heart's got to be right with God before he receives your sacrifice. Of course, your heart has to be born again. It has to be saved. You have to know Christ as your Savior. He has to indwell you before there's any chance of any sacrifice that you offer him. Anything you do for him, any service you render for him could be accepted. He's not going to accept any service from a heart that hasn't been born again, that doesn't know Christ as its Savior, and that's obvious. But many times after we're saved, and we are then baptized, our heart is still not right with God, even though we're on a church roll, and even though we're members of that church. It's important to get your heart right with God by being saved. And then it's important to get your heart right by confessing your sins to God and by making things right with God on a moment-by-moment, day-to-day basis. If it sounds like I'm saying, well, that's what I do all the time, well, good, because that's what you're supposed to do. And it's a continual thing that goes on in a person's life, all their life. 1 Peter 5 and 6. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, sometimes beautiful flowery messages can be preached about this, about humbling yourself before God. But let's look at the practical aspect of this, and let's get it down to the nitty-gritty. What does it mean to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God? It means to give in to someone. It means to humble yourself before them and to accept their way rather than your way. I always like to hear Frank Sinatra sing. I always like to hear Elvis Presley sing. They had beautiful voices. And together they made one song very, 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 very well known, very well liked, and it was one of our most appreciated songs in the history of music. It was called I Did It My Way. And both of them sang it with equal authority and in their own style. And the whole point was, I did it my way. That is not a humble heart. I'm not saying they didn't have a humble heart. I'm not passing judgment on either one of them. I'm just saying that people that do it their way are not humbling themselves under the mighty hand of God. To humble yourself means to do it someone else's way, because you have a love for them, a respect for them, a belief that they know what they're doing, you have confidence in them, and you say, I know his way is better than my way. And so you do it God's way. Why does God do this? That he may exalt you in due time. Of course, I could preach a message and tell you that meant that one day, because you had humbled yourself before God, after you were saved and were faithful to him the way you should have been and followed his way rather than your own, I could tell you that one day you'll be resurrected and you'll be glad you did, and you'll receive a crown of life and you'll be ecstatically happy in heaven, and it'll be wonderful. And all that's true. All that's absolutely true. But there are things that God does for us in life that if we don't humble ourselves, if we don't do it his way and we choose to do it our way, even though we're saved, we're scripturally baptized, we're part of his church, we miss out on blessings by the exaltation and the lifting up of God in our own lives and our own hearts just because we're stubborn and we won't do it his way. Genesis 4, 6 through 8. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? That's not humbling yourselves before God. What was Cain's problem? Why was he so wroth? He knew what sacrifice to bring. I've preached on this many times. But Cain wanted to do it his way. And certainly the sacrifice he brought, apparently on the surface, was much more beautiful, much more colorful, apparently much more attractive than the blood sacrifice that Abel brought. But it was God's way. Whenever Abel did what God said and did it his way, he humbled himself under the mighty hand of God. He did it God's way. That's what it means to humble yourself. to do it God's way. Cain didn't. And Cain was mad when God wouldn't accept his offering. He says, and why is thy countenance falling? He says, why are you so disappointed? Why do you have this frown, this look on your face? Why are you this way? He said, now look, notice what God said. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, that he may exalt you in due time. He said, Cain, go do it the way I told you. Cain, do it my way. Humble yourself, Cain, and do what I say, the way I say it. And he said, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. He said, if you don't do it my way, Cain, he said, you're in disobedience to me. And that's what sin is, disobedience to God. And unto thee shall be his desire, Abel, and thou shalt rule over him. He said, just go and do like I told you, Cain. He said, humble yourself, do it my way. And he said, then he said, you will have your rightful place as the firstborn, and you will be placed over your brother, and you'll be in charge of it. Well, did Cain humble himself and do it God's way? No. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. That certainly wasn't humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. That was breaking God's rules. You didn't do it God's way. It's a very simple thing. People say, I know this fellow that's real humble. A person is only humble if he's doing it God's way, no matter what. People have strong wills. We're born with a strong will. We're born with a will of disobedience, and we want to do it our way. And it's a very natural thing for us. That's the way natural man is. Notice what it says in Jude 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. That's it. That's what humility or lack of humility is. Cain went his way. I did it my way. Cain didn't humble himself under the mighty hand of God. And there was no way God could exalt him and lift him up and let him rule over his brother and have his rightful position within God's area of spirituality unless he did it God's way. God says, you want to humble yourself before me? Just do what I tell you, the way I tell you to do it, and don't sit around and question it and try to come up with a better way or try to detect some flaw in what I've told you to do. Woe unto them, Jude 11, for they have gone the way of Cain, ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. I preached in all three of these before, but that's not the purpose of the message today. And so I'll simply tell you, all three of these did it their way. Whether it's before you get saved and it stops you from being saved, or whether it's after you get saved and you decide to do what you're doing for profit, or whether you decide to do what you're doing because you want to be in charge and take over and you want to be Mr. Everybody and everybody else is Mr. Nobody. In any case, you do it your way. Well, let me tell you something about not doing it God's way. Humbling yourself. Take a look at Psalm 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. A broken heart is someone that the Lord is close to. And I'm not talking about losing your mother or your father or one of your children and you're just bereaved and sad and unhappy and everything and the Lord's comforting you. And believe me, he does all that. But this is talking about a broken heart. It's broken. It's like a stallion. It's like a wild horse. A wild horse is not any good to anybody unless he accepts a master. And when he believes that this fellow who got on his back and rode him and broke him is a man who had a purpose in doing it, and when he realizes that, he becomes broken. That's what a broken heart is. It's a broken spirit. It's a spirit that's come to realize he knows best. And it bows down before him and says, Lord, I'm going to do it your way. And he fails, but he keeps on trying. He's a broken horse. He's one that's tame toward his master. He doesn't rebel toward his master. The man who rides him, he doesn't try to kick him. He doesn't try to blame him. He just does what he's supposed to do. Loves the man. Becomes attached to him. And lets him ride him anywhere he wants to ride him. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit. Cain wanted it his way. We are born with proud and haughty and arrogant spirits. And after we're saved, we have a proud and haughty, arrogant spirit of sorts called the natural man living in our flesh. We don't want to be broken. We want to keep our old ways. We want to do what we think's right. We don't want to follow God's teachings. We don't want to humble ourselves. We don't want to follow His way. Why do I practice close communion? That's His way. Why does this church baptize by immersion, by the authority of the church? That's His way. I can't improve on it because God gave it. And I humble myself before God and say, I'll do it your way, Lord. I'll do it exactly like you said. I'll do it your way. Now, if my heart were not right towards God, I wouldn't practice close communion. If my heart were not right toward God, I wouldn't baptize by immersion by the authority of the church. If your heart is right toward God, it means you've humbled yourself before God, and you're going to do it His way. Not your way, but His way. Genesis 3:15-21. And I will put enmity between thee, the devil, and the woman Eve, and between thy seed, the coming seed, the promised messianic seed, would be Jesus Christ, and the devil would have seeds, and they're called tares. And they believe in God, and they believe God's on the throne, and they're in religious circles, and they're in churches, and they're meeting in buildings this morning. The only problem is they don't believe that the seed of the woman who was sent to save them does a complete job or did enough, and they must of their own volition and own efforts to add something to it. You know what the problem is? Humble ourselves. They're not humble. Not God's way. Not by grace through faith. Not by something that Jesus alone did. Not by something that the Father did by sending Him. Not by the convicting power of God's Holy Spirit and an instantaneous sealing of the soul and spirit forever. By grace through faith, the moment you receive Christ, no, not God's way. You've got to either add a little bit to it or take a little bit away from it. And they do not do it God's way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's God's way. It requires humility. Following His way. I am a miserable, rotten, ungodly sinner in the flesh. I am no better than Adolf Hitler in the flesh. I am no better than Benito Mussolini. I am no better than the greatest child killer that ever lived. I'm no better than the worst sexual pervert that ever lived in the flesh. I'm all those things in the flesh. And they're just not being developed properly because inside me I have a new spirit. And the Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And my heart has been made right toward God. Now that I do have a new spirit, the question becomes, since I'm saved by grace through faith, and since I have humbled myself before God and acknowledged plainly your way, Lord, through Jesus, through Christ, I have no other hope. Now if that's over with, that's settled. Now am I going to follow His way in my life? Am I going to humble myself and become obedient before God and acknowledge that His way is the best way? Jesus came and He was the seed of the woman Eve, and He crushed the power of Satan by stepping on his head and forever ending his bondage over man that he held him under because man had a disobedient spirit. He did not have humility toward God, and he wanted to follow his own way. Christ stepped on his head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. He forever crushed the power of Satan, but he had to pay a price himself in the flesh, because in order for God to be just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus, God must be just, and it was the only way that God could be just was for a man to pay the price for man's sins. And a man came in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily, and Christ was in that man, and He reconciled us to Himself, by the death of His Son in the flesh, and by the grace of God in Jesus Christ, that's His way. And unless you accept Jesus as the total propitiation for your sins, the total sacrifice, the complete sacrifice, the only hope you have, I'm afraid, my friend, you have not been saved by grace through faith, but by some other system that is not a gospel. Then God added the sacrifice. In verse 21, Genesis 3:21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. But the sacrifice represented by the animals which innocent blood was shed to provide a temporary covering for sin until the seed would come who would cleanse from all sin. It was the covering. It was not the covering that saved. It was the sacrifice that would only be accepted from the hands of those who had believed in the seed to save them. Down through the ages, Salvation has always been by faith in that seed. That's by grace, through faith in the promise, the belief. God said, I'll send a deliverer, and God sent the deliverer, and I don't care when you were born in time, from Adam until the last man on this earth, it has always been by faith in Genesis 3:15 and God's promise of a seed that a man's soul is saved because he comes and he humbles himself before God. What is humbling before God? His way, not your way. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that's God's way. And that's the only way there is. Then afterwards, if your heart's right toward God, then the sacrifice that you offer and all those animal sacrifices that were offered, all those were accepted by God, if the heart was right. But I don't care if you bought the best ox you had, the best bullock you had. I don't care if you bought the best lamb you had. I don't care what kind of an oblation you offered. I don't care how long you labored over it. I don't care how much you worked on that sacrifice so it would be pleasing to God. Unless your heart was right and your faith was in God's coming Messiah, that sacrifice wasn't accepted. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if your heart's right, then your life ought to be right. And this ought to be a continual thing in your heart and life, where you keep on humbling yourself before God. How do you humble yourself? His way. His way. His way. Not your way. His way. And that's the way God always meant for it to be. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. And bare Cain. Said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Naturally, since the promise was in the seed, Adam and Eve believed, just as soon as I have a child, that'll be the seed. God said so. They believed. That's why I believe they're both in heaven. They believed the seed. They believed God said he'd do it. They believed God would do it. All of a sudden, down in verse 5 in chapter 4, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Why? Cain didn't humble himself. Cain's heart had never been made right with God. If Cain's heart had been made right with God, he would have brought the right sacrifice. But his heart was not made right with God because I don't believe Cain believed that seed promise. And he knew there was a God. And Cain was going to do it his way. This world is filled with people who believe there's a God. But the problem is they're all trying to approach that God their way. They don't humble themselves. If you're going to approach God, you're going to have to humble yourself. What is it? His way. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Why didn't he have respect? Cain was not humbling himself before it. His heart had never been made right. He brought the wrong sacrifice to boot. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. He got mad. Instead of accepting God's way, he said, I'm going to do it my way or no way. And that's precisely why Cain is probably burning in hell right now. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel. Genesis 4:25. Whom Cain slew. So you can see here that they believed this faith thing. Well, along came Seth, and she said, well, this is probably the one, and he's going to deliver us some way. They didn't know how. Then all of a sudden there was a fly in the ointment in verse 26. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son. He called his name Enos. Now, wait a minute. Here's another seed that came from Eve. So what's going on here? Which seed is it? They didn't know. Probably then, for the very first time, it dawned on them, which seed's it going to be? How long's God going to let this go on? They didn't know. So what would you do if you didn't know? Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. What were they calling for? The seed. They wanted the seed. Send the Messiah. Lord, send this seed. Lord, we want to be delivered. Then they began to call upon the name of the Lord. What is calling upon the name of the Lord? His way. That's how I got saved. His way. I called upon him. He saved me. That's his way. That's what humbling yourself before God is. His way. Calling upon the name of the Lord. Psalm 51:16-17. Notice what this says. These things aren't just true to get saved. They're true after you get saved. And you do it God's way. Not your way. His way. Psalm 51:16-17. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. It's not the sacrifice, it's not the offering. Some people give their whole lives to God. They live their whole lives and they dedicate it to God. Some of them wear appropriate clothing and work in hospitals. And you say, that's the sweetest old woman I ever saw in my life. Why, surely God's going to send her to heaven. Why, surely she's going to make it to heaven. Listen, it's God's way or no way. You don't humble yourself before God by trying to save the whole human race and see to their needs and their and all their afflictions and turn the church into a welfare organization? The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. You know what that is? Humble yourself before God. How do you do that? My way. God said, do it my way. When you won't do it your way, and you give in to God and do it his way, you're humbling yourself before God. You've got a broken spirit. He's got a horse he's broken. He made it. Why can't he ride it? And a contrite heart, a heart willing to do it God's way. He said, O God, thou wilt not despise. For thus saith the high and lofty one that abideth, inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit. That's exactly the kind of people that are going to dwell with him. That's exactly the kind of person Jesus Christ was. He didn't do it his way. He did it God's way. Listen, that man had a will. It was a perfect will. It was a sinless will. But that was a man in whom God dwelt. And that man had a broken spirit and a contrite heart. You say, well, why do you say that? Because he humbled himself before his Father. And he did it his Father's way. And once he comes to live in you, that's exactly what he tries to get you to do. To do it his Father's way and not your way. Problem is, we try to hold on to our way and won't give in to God's way. To him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Listen, after you get saved, that's not the end of it. You're going to heaven, but you need to keep on letting God have his way. God wants you to say, okay, I'll do it your way, Lord. You say, well, I've tried that and it failed. No, it didn't fail. You just wouldn't ask for forgiveness for what you had done, and because of that, you think it's failed. It hasn't failed. If we are faithful and just to confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God says, okay, do it my way. Well, how long have you got? As long as you're alive in the flesh. That's how long you've got. He told Cain, he said, Cain, just go do it right. Do it my way. If Cain had done it that way, everything would have been fine. But Cain's spirit was haughty. He said, my way. We try to get God to do it our way so we can worship him and love him. And we really think if God would do it our way, then we'd really love him. No, we wouldn't have any respect for him. Because it would show us that we knew as much as God knew. Doing it God's way, not your way. Whether before you're saved or after you're saved, is humbling yourself before God. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. God has to give you a new heart before you can do any of this. Without a new heart, you're helpless. Jesus answered and said unto him, John 3:7-3, Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot see or understand spiritual things or even have an awareness of the way of God until after you've come to God his way, and then you can see his way. But even after people are saved and see his way, there is still a haughty spirit in the flesh that does not want to do it God's way. And that spirit, and that flesh keeps telling us, God ought to do it this way. This is what God ought to do for me. This is the way God ought to treat me. This is the way God should do this. And we get mad and angry with God out of that spirit in the flesh when all God's trying to do is saying, look, ding, ding, I'm the one who knows what he's doing. You don't do it my way. That's humbling yourself before God. And that's what humility really is. Romans 2:28-29. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart. God circumcises your heart. And he'll only do it if you come to him with the awareness, I'm going to do it your way, God. I'm going to acknowledge to myself and let myself know that you've told me the truth. I'm going to put my faith in your promised seed, your son. I'm going to be aware that I'm helplessly, hopelessly lost, and I'm coming to you, Lord, with no other hope than that in your son. That's a circumcision in the spirit, not in the letter, trying to do what God said with the sacrifices, trying to do all those sacrifices, trying to make yourself worthy of God, whose praise is not of man, but of God. Genesis 3:6-9. Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. I'm as much as a child of Abraham as was Isaac. I'm a spiritual child of Abraham because Abraham humbled himself. God said, get ye out of Chaldee. And you know what? Abraham believed God's way was best. And he believed God. And God told him that his seed, his offspring, all nations would be blessed. And Abraham believed God. He said, I'm going to do it God's way. Did he always do it God's way? My goodness, no. He got off the track all the time. Right off the bat, he and Sarah decided they'll get Isaac. That's not God's way. That was their way. And then after Sarah died, he decided he'd have six more sons through Keturah. That's not God's way. That was Abraham's way. But Abraham was a man who kept on learning and finally got to the point where he said, okay, Lord, your way. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, Galatians 3:6-9, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. The good news was preached to Abraham. Believe me, Abraham, and I'll make it all right. Do it my way, Abraham, and I'll exalt you in due time. Saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Genesis 3:15-21. Between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I got saved the same way that Abel got saved. It wasn't the sacrifice that Abel brought that saved him. It was his faith in the promised seed. And he believed God, and he did it God's way and not his way. He brought it because his heart was right with God, and he humbled himself before God and said, okay, your way. That's a humble heart. I was saved 57 years ago. God gave me a new heart, a contrite heart. The only problem is I've still got a monster in my flesh. And even though I know God's way is right, at times I try to impose on him my own ideas as to what's right, and in so doing, I don't humble myself before God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you can go through your whole life being mad at God if after he's cleansed your heart, you give in to the flesh and try to find some way where you can live the life the way you want to live it and justify it before God and get mad at him when it doesn't work out the way you want it to work out. Unto Abram also, to his wife, to the Lord God, makes coats of skin and clothing. It was the sacrifice, but it came second. God won't accept your sacrifice unless your heart's right. If your heart's right after you're saved, you've got another battle. Am I going to do it my way or God's way? Am I going to go to a church that teaches and preaches the truth, or one that teaches and preaches what I want to hear? Am I going to go to a church that practices baptism, the ordinances that he gave me correctly, or am I going to go to a church that practices some type of communion or ordinance that's different? Well, it might be more convenient for you to go to church that doesn't do that. And so you follow your own will, and you're not humbling yourself before God, because humbling is God's way and the appreciation for it. But your heart has to be right before God will even accept any sacrifice that you make. Thus saith the Lord, Isaiah 66:1-4. The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? You see, the scribes and Pharisees had gotten to the point where they believed that the actual salvation was in the sacrifices and the offering and the temple, and when they went there, everything would be all right. Listen, we've got thousands, millions of churches meeting this morning all over this globe, and people are sitting in there lost as a goose and headed for hell and calling themselves churches of God, and they're trying to work their way to heaven by some other system that God didn't put down here. And they believe that they're saved, and God's making the point, it's not the temple that saves you. It's who the temple pictures. It's not the sacrifices that you bring that save you. He said, it's my son that saves. It's the seed that saves. Thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build in me? Where's the place of my rest? Do you really think you can help God? Do you really think that something you can do? God will look down and say, well, that's a pretty good old boy, pretty good old gal. I'll let her come up. For all those things hath mine hand made. God said, I made all that stuff. Forget that. He said, I want your heart. I want your heart changed. If your heart's changed, if your heart's right, then you do what God says. And all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look. Remember where we started? But to this man will I look. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God wants to exalt you. That's God. He's been his plan from the beginning. What kind of a man he's going to exalt? Even to him that is a poor and a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. How poor am I? I don't have any righteousness of my own. I don't have any goodness of my own. How contrite am I? God's way is the best way. There is no other way. And for me to try to do it any other way is wrong. Trembleth at my word. I fear God. I fear His word. I respect His word. I listen to what He has to say. Do I ever get off track? Yes, all the time. But I confess my sins and God's forgive me. That's the kind of a man God looks to. If your heart's right with God and you know what a miserable, wretched, ungodly sinner you are in the flesh, it's going to draw you to be appreciative to God, to love God, to know that God's right, and to do what God says no matter what happens. It affects the amount of money you give. It affects your church attendance. It affects everything in your life. If you learn to do it His way, you've learned something. If you don't, here's what it's like. He that killeth an ox is if he slew a man. Back then, if you brought a big, healthy ox, you were considered to be, man, that man's after God's heart. He says, if your heart's not right, if you don't have a poor and contrite spirit, he said, you can bring the best ox you've got in your flight. He says, you might as well kill the man and brought him up here and laid him on the altar. He that sacrificeth a lamb, you bring a lamb, you pick the best one out of your flock. First of all, you wouldn't pick the best one out of your flock if your heart wasn't right with God, as if he cut off a dog's neck. He said, you might as well cut off a filthy animal dog's neck, which is not allowed on the Temple Mount. Bring it up there and sacrifice to me if your heart's not right with God. It's not only coming to church that's important. It's why you're here. And it's what it means to you. And what you're willing to pay for the price of being here. And it's worshiping and serving God. It's not some temporary thing that you just work into your busy schedule. He that offereth an oblation, a poured out offering, as he that offered swine's blood, took a hog and brought it in and poured it over the things of God. He that burneth incense, that sweet-smelling incense, and as if he blessed an idol. Brothers and sisters in Christ, your heart's got to be right with God. Yea, they have chosen their own ways. They have chosen their own ways. Isaiah 66, 1 through 4. And their soul delighteth in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fear upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. He's speaking to you this morning. He's speaking to me this morning as I preach this. He's asking you and he's asking me. He's saying, Tom, and he's speaking to you personally through his word. And he's saying, are you going to choose your way? You're going to choose my way. You're going to answer me? You're going to follow me? Or are you going to continue in your own way? When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes and chose that which I delighted not. Brothers and sisters in Christ, listen to me. Humbling yourself before God depends on whether you choose to accept God's way or to follow your own way. 1 Timothy 3:14 and 50, this is God's way. These things write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry a long time, I notice how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. You've got to be in God's church to behave yourself in the church of God, to even think about it. Hebrews 10, 21 through 25. All these things in this verse of Scripture have to do with God's way. This is God's way. If you're saved, you need to be scripturally baptized. If you're not scripturally baptized, you're following your own way. If you are scripturally baptized and you're a member of this church and you're not following God and you're not faithful to the church, you're following your own way. It's that plain, it's that simple. Let us draw near. Hebrews 10, 21 through 25. Let us draw near with a, 21 is, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast. All these things are making the right choice. You have to choose whether to draw near. You have to choose whether to hold fast. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another. You can't consider one another if you're not assembling together with one another. And God's way is for us to assemble together and to worship him in spirit and truth, not to be separated by absence from one another. And let us consider one another both unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another. You can't encourage someone if you're not a part of them. And so much the more as you see the day approacheth, in whom you also are builded together for habitation of God through the Spirit. I guarantee you by the living word of God that God's Spirit is here this morning. I know he's here. This church tries to do it his way. Oh, we fail. But we confess our sins and try to do what he wants. It's a continual life of realizing my way is not the right way. God's way is the right way. So the question I address to each one of you this morning is, have you ever followed the correct way to be saved? Have you ever approached God and acknowledged, I've got to have a Savior or I'm hell bound? Have you ever just realized, I've got to have a Savior? Have you ever did what Abel and the others after him had to do? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Have you ever called upon the name of the Lord and trusted him to save you? If not, you need to do that this morning. Are you saved, and yet you're following your own way rather than God's way to give glory and honor to his Son in the church? You need to stop that and start following his way and do it his way. And if you are saved and scripturally baptized and you're part of this church, you need to start trying to get your life and your heart right with God by following his way. And not your own way, but his. He never asked anybody to do that for any other reason than this. He's perfect. He's good. He's love. And his way is the only way. That's the only way a man can ever find peace or happiness. A woman can ever find peace or happiness. We're going to have a silent moment of prayer. And right now in your life, if you don't know him as Savior, right now, you can go to his Son. His name is Jesus. And ask him to save you, realizing that he alone can save you. And he'll keep his word. He'll keep his promise, because that's God's way. And when you ask, you'll receive, because he's promised and he's faithful. And if you're saved and you've never been baptized properly, I hope this morning you'll finally decide, I'm going to do it God's way and not my way. If you are a member of this church, I hope each one of us will look in our hearts and say, Lord, help me to do it your way and not my way. Heavenly Father, we can only pray, Lord, that all of us will respond. These things I ask in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen.